Yes, hello everyone. Welcome. It is Tradies Season 2, Episode 7, brought to you by the great people at Callaway. We're going to talk about the golf game that happened to me in the last 7 days at some point. But before that, let's welcome in my award-winning co-host. Hello, Mitchell.
Hello, Samuel. It was a pleasure to see you just psyching yourself up for the show a few moments ago. Just take us through that little routine. You sort of shut the eyes, pin the ears back and said, let's go. It was
red leather, yellow leather.
Yeah, so is that just to get the vocal cords going?
Pretty much. I usually, if I ever do classified, I usually sit on the set for like, I leave it really late.
Yeah.
And then I come in and I just usually sit there for like 5 minutes with my eyes closed. Lordy thinks I'm a freak, which I might be.
Clearly no classified in the last week. That beard sort of got a bit of growth to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm enjoying sort of just, you know, letting it all hang out.
Mm. All right. We've got to address the elephant in the room off the top, the ghost.
So this is JC time. This is Junk Jack time, also known as Jack Curtis time.
I've received some feedback on that too, that I think we need to tighten JC time a bit.
Yeah, okay, we probably should. Yeah. It's a bit self-indulgent.
Herald Sun picked up the ghost.
Who would have thought that me and Mitch would be self-indulgent about a podcast?
Herald Sun picked up the ghost chat last week.
What?
Did you not see that?
No.
Are you serious? I'm not joking. The story was Harley Reid's new love interest.
Yep.
Australia's new power couple.
Yep.
Second story, Sam McClure's ghost.
Are you legitimate?
Legitimate.
How come you didn't put that in the WhatsApp group?
I just thought it was
common knowledge.
Yeah.
I missed this. Who wrote it?
Jackie Epstein.
Jack? Didn't call me. No call. Did she call
quotes,
the ghost?
Quotes were strong enough on the pod.
I've had a lot of feedback. A lot of feedback about the ghost.
Are we any closer to a resolution?
No.
You're still residing at the same
yesterday, 6:35 p.m. I have a Ghostbuster if you need one. Seriously, full stop, Eddie Maguire.
He must have read the article.
I have some amazing stories. It actually works. Happy to help if required. I had a CEO of a club ring me and say, mate, I just listened to the pod. I would be burning down the house and leaving.
Mm.
And then most people think it's Steve's tale.
That was the strong feedback on the comments on Facebook.
Okay,
on
so let me just, if it is Diva's tale, why is there no blood on her bed? First question.
Yeah.
Second question is, how are the marks on the front, on the outside of the front door?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So while I'm recording Tradies, she's sneaking out the back, jumping the 12-foot high fence that I have, wagging her tail up against the front door
right,
and then sneaking
back
in.
Rule out Diva's tail.
Thank you.
There must be a ghost.
Now, see, that was sarcastic.
No.
Which I didn't appreciate. But, I came to you last week vulnerable and talking about something that I needed some advice on.
So you're still living there?
Yeah.
You haven't taken that CEO's advice on?
I'm not moving it. If the ghost is going to kill me, just kill me.
Okay.
I'm not moving. Not because I'm tough, mainly because I just can't be bothered moving.
Should we get to 200 plus trying to step on our turf from last week?
Sure.
Roll the opener, please. It's time for Deal or No Deal. How are we going here? I got told you got to add a lot of cheese during the hosting.
Comes natural to you, by the sound.
It does, very much so.
Why are you American?
Jack McRae to Hawthorne. Do we have a deal?
Yeah.
And what about you?
Yeah, I reckon he's gone somewhere.
Will Brody to Richmond.
Yeah, we have a deal.
How did that go, Moffa? I think that was very good.
I reckon some will like it, some will hate it.
Please put forward the trades to Deal or No Deal for
the
next
more,
week.
And ridiculous, let's turn the into Tradies podcast.
I think so, because we might get. I think they
we'll
get
do
paid
it better than them.
I've got a big call about the doggies.
Go, good. Mm. We need something for this podcast.
If Bevo's still there, there'll be some players requesting trades.
Whoa,
Sherlock!
Clip that up for Neds.
Tradies, get on that.
Well, yeah, right.
Is this Drapes' magic ball?
This is good.
Can't reveal.
You might have a career. You might have a career in this game if this keeps up. Yeah, can you name names? I'll name names. Caleb Daniel, Bailey Dale,
yep,
McRae.
Mm-hmm. There's three good ones.
What about Barry Smith?
Boy, he's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Everyone knows that.
Is he on something tonight? Or something? He's very good.
Yeah. Is this Tradies podcast?
Hello, I'm Sam McClure, and welcome to the Tradies, everyone. Yes, what have you gone, Midge? I want to get my whiteboard.
Wow, I have no words for that.
That's the first time I've heard that.
I'm offended, quite frankly.
So they're thinking they can dip into our space when we don't start talking about fringe state league ruckman or anything like that.
Well, you would like to, but yeah. I mainly rule that out in the pre-show meeting.
Sam Draper bringing a bit of heat there around
that was,
Bevo.
I was sort of like, the journo in me kind of wants to just write that up.
Yeah.
rival player lists Bulldogs who will leave if Bevo stays.
Yeah.
That's not the worst story.
There's a reason we've got four dogs on our whiteboards at the moment.
No, we love 200 plus. Butts needs to tone down the cheese a bit. Mm. Just needs to dial.
He put you on the map, apparently.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anything else happened for your week?
Good to see the Gabba getting around my theory of not playing the opposition songs
so
at home games.
What happened there? Was that a mistake?
We sent our producer Scott up for a field excursion up to the Gabba.
Yep.
And he's already got it worked out that the Lions didn't play the Cat song when they ran out.
But is that a mistake? Did they just forget?
I'm just taking on at face value that it was they've listened to the show.
Do you need to ring your mate Dills and just ask the question if they forgot or not?
It's more of a question for the Gabba management, but I'm just going
to... So just in case you didn't listen to the siren last week, Mitch thinks that if you're the away team and you win, you shouldn't have the song play after the siren, which may be the worst take in the history of football.
I've had some club feedback this week, mixed, but some suggesting that I was on the money that even games at Marvel are too neutral. We need a bit more home ground advantage.
Games at Marvel are too neutral?
Well, you just don't know. It's
a Marvel team playing a Marvel team.
Yeah,
how do you know neutral?
Well, there's a home team listed. That's their home fans are there. Their members are there.
It doesn't really matter if they're playing another Marvel team.
Well, the derby on the weekend, they both play at the same venue. And it was clearly, if you watch that game, it was clearly a West Coast home ground.
Was it?
Yeah. The crowd was going nuts for the Eagles.
That's because Fremantle couldn't score.
Barely a murmur for the Dockers.
Not bad. Our man Harley. He's not bad.
Our man.
He? Oh, whose man is it? Yours?
He's not yours.
Why not? We're good friends.
Oh, you've patched up. That's right.
No, there was no patch up required.
He said that there was one thing that annoyed him in football and it was you.
No, that's true. He did say that. Should we get straight to the whiteboard?
I think so.
There's a couple of big stories that I think you're going to explode. It's going to be a big trade.
Bailey Smith, first name on my whiteboard.
Is he going to stay there for the duration of the year?
For the year? Yeah, interesting question. So what did you make of the story last week that actually got all the way to the coach who denied it about Collingwood telling their players not to... or to tone down at least the amount of photos that they're in with him.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't heard of it, and obviously Craig McRae hadn't, but it wouldn't shock me if there was some level of communication within the club that suggested that.
Does that automatically make you think that they want him and that they don't want to tell people?
Oh, they clearly want him.
Yeah.
And the Dacos boys have a connection. They're both in the Barry drink with Bailey.
Yep.
And I know I spoke to Josh in the preseason, and he was very strong on if Bailey wants to come, we'd be – open arms to bring him across.
He's the perfect player for Collingwood.
I agree.
In every way. For the team, for the club.
For the demographic on field too, with Pendlebury and Sidebottom in the twilight. He'll come in and take a midfield role.
Yeah. He's the star player in a small club getting poached by Real Madrid. That's...
The Beckham?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
David Beckham?
Yeah, well, he's probably got the same, similar level of... fangirls.
Comparatively.
Comparatively to population, of course.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
Fascinating. I mean, Sam Landsberger reported it, and he's pretty well connected at most clubs, but particularly at the Dogs. So I sort of smoke fire kind of theory. Thought there was something to it. I just can't see him staying at the Dogs.
Yeah.
Personally. Having said that, though, like it's easy for me to sit here and say that when he's not playing.
Yeah,
if he was playing and he was dominating, we'd probably be saying, oh, well, the more he's playing well, the more he's likely to stay. But he's had the two-year extension on the table for some time. He'd be silly to sign that without working out what Hawthorn and Collingwood and Geelong, and there'll be a couple come from the clouds, I'm sure.
Mm.
Can Sydney find a way, fit him into the salary cap?
He's back at the club in the last fortnight. So he'd been away sort of on and off because as part of his rehab, he'd been training sort of externally to the club, but he's back inside everything right now. If you were to rank them 1, 2, and 3 in terms of order of most likely where he's going to go, Hawthorn, Collingwood, Geelong right now, what would you have them?
Question without notice. I would still have Geelong just in front of Collingwood.
Yep.
So I'd say... 55 Geelong, 35 Collingwood.
So Hawthorn, you're ruling out?
Or no, you're not well that leaves a little bit.
Leaves 10, if I'm right.
55 and 35 is 90, that's correct. It leaves 10 for, something like that.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, the Hawks are pretty interested in him last year. They would have given their first round pick, who they used on Nick Watson, who looks a player.
although he's very small. But there are people that think that I overrate Bailey, so maybe clubs won't come as hard as I think they will.
I would have it right now of 1, 2, and 3.
You think Max Holmes is a better player?
Yeah.
Oh, don't. By the way, I was listening to your little radio bit with Kane Corns and David on Friday. You quickly shifted the blame to me.
Kane goes off.
I'd love to go to war with Mitch, by the way.
Kane, you don't rate Max Holmes. I said, hang on a second. That's my co-host.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to get tradies a plug on another network. I would go Hawthorn, Geelong, Collingwood.
Is that the opposite of what I said? I said Geelong first.
Only because
you reckon Hawthorn?
Yeah.
Hawthorn need him the least of those three clubs.
I agree with that. But I just think in terms of the salary cap room they've got and their need to get into the market for a star player, they're looking for...
If you were Hawthorn, would you offer him $1 million?
No.
No.
The reason I have Collingwood third is purely because I think he'd be a great fit on field in terms of the acquisition of getting him. They don't have a first-round pick right now. Gave it up for Lachie Schultz. And you would think they're going to be in contention in the next 2-3 years. So their future first rounder.
Would the Hawks give their first pick again? Offer it up?
I don't think so. I think you could go and split it.
Yeah. What's he worth, though?
If it's a pick 40, you go and get a pick 12 and 16 and offer 12.
Pick 12 for Bailey Smith. Yeah. Yeah. I would have said that was unders if he'd had a full good year this year. But he's come off a knee. So 12 sounds about right.
Yeah.
But you can guarantee that if he nominates Hawthorn, the Dogs will be like, okay, cool, we'll have pick 4.
Yeah.
And then the games will start.
You might need a bit more than 12 and 16 for 4. It's probably maybe more like 10 and 14. But
yeah.
Anyway, we can work that out. But I just think the Pies are going to be in the window next year. So that future first, if they were to put that on the table for Bailey Smith, would be 15, 16, 17.
Yep.
And the question comes in, how desperate are clubs going to be to hold on to their first round picks in the next couple of years because Tassie's coming. Do you want to be offloading all these first round picks?
Is Tassie definitely coming? I'm just asking.
Mm.
I wonder if the new CEO is just waiting to see what happens with the stadium before he makes the move.
Are you asking that in the terms that you know?
I'm just asking the question. Why hasn't Brendan Gale announced what he's doing yet?
He's very invested in the new Jack Dyer redevelopment.
Is he?
Yes.
I would reinvestigate that claim.
You don't think he's in?
I would just reinvestigate.
You don't think he's invested in that?
I would check some contracts and see names attached to it. Anyway, because we say that the Air Raid sign, it's got nothing to do with trade.
You've just written a new name up there. Yep. I can't read it from here.
I love this. I don't know if that gets on the microphone, but the sound of the texture on the whiteboard, that to me is just, I don't know. It's one of the great
school vibes.
It's all, yeah. It's like, do you like the smell of petrol? Like when you roll to a petrol station?
I don't dislike it.
It's nice, isn't it? Like, it's like when you get into a garage and there's cars and there's fumes and there's oil
You're
rags.
You're a car guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a brand new Sharon out of the plastic bag.
Oh, it's nothing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing better. Oliver Florent.
Mm.
I don't know if it's Florent or Florent, but I like saying Florent, a bit like BT.
Yeah.
Really interesting one for me. So he was pick 11 in the 2016 draft. He has, apart from, I think he played 10 games in his first season and then basically has been very consistent since then. He's 25, he's sitting on 148 games, had 25 disposals to win over the Gold Coast on the weekend, and is a free agent.
Yeah.
Now, they have obviously a very good midfield, the Swans, and with the older guys handing over the baton to the new guys coming through, we know the likes of Gordon and Warner, etc. So he's been pushed out to be sort of like a high half forward, sort of a little similar to what Haywood and the role that he's played, but Florent probably plays a little bit more midfield from time to time. He's a Beau Morris boy, so Bayside boy. His mum still lives here. He's close with his mum. Look, he's going to have clubs ask the question.
It reeks of St Kilda.
St Kilda is the obvious one. They've asked the question of him before, but he's said no. And the fact that, you know, that they have so much, the Saints have so much money, and that they could get him as a free agent, he would be very attractive. Look, I just think he'll stay. He's very settled in Sydney. He loves the club. I wouldn't be surprised if there was an announcement in the next 2 months that he's staying.
Yep.
My only question would be, and we come back to my whiteboard of SWC, the St Kilda War Chest. My only question would be, would a ridiculous offer turn his head? which is basically what happened with Isaac Rankin. Yep. People forget this. Is it Rankin was basically signed, sealed, delivered. In fact, he was about to do an interview about him re-signing the Gold Coast for a further 4 years. And then Essendon came with a huge offer of over 850 grand. That actually turned his head.
Mm.
And that made Adelaide go, oh, well, if that's turning his head, if we offer similar money for him a chance to come back home where his brother lives, maybe a chance.
And it was actually a game at the Adelaide Oval when the family were all in the rooms against the Crows or the Power, I think.
It was a showdown.
Yeah.
It was a Gold Coast game.
He played against
Port.
Yeah, and the family were all in there and he thought, geez, if I could get this after every game, imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Now, I'm not comparing the situations and saying that that's what's going to happen here, but if St Kilda have all of the money that we're hearing that they have and they can't get a McCluggage this year, that's when someone like a Florent becomes more attractive. So how much do you think Florent's on now?
He's on 600?
Yeah, he's on less than six, which given the average salary is 440.
Yeah.
Ollie Florent is a fair bit better than the average average player. Well, for me anyway, this all becomes, it now starts to become objective. Mm. But
if you were lining up the Swans players in the schoolyard, all 40 players on their list, where would Ollie Florent be picked out of there in terms of a schoolyard game? Where would he be picked in terms of importance on that list?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably somewhere between 16 and 20.
Okay. I was going to say somewhere 12 to 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, and then I'll look
I think it just depends. I think because, like, I see Florent, he did some amazing things. I don't know if you watched the Gold Coast game on the weekend, where he's just got this ability to change the direction of his kick.
Yeah.
At the last second, like in the ball drop. He's got an amazing touch. And he's not going to be the guy that gets you 35 grunt disposals a game, but you don't want too many of those. Florent in a good team is a good finisher and a good connector. Now, whether that is worth, if St Kilda turn around and say, we'll pay you 850.
Mm. Well, that's why I asked. So if let's say he's ranked 12 to 14 on the Swans list.
Yeah.
And the Saints came in and said, no, we think you're 6 to 9 on our list.
He's probably in their best, he's probably in their best 8 to 10, isn't he?
Yeah. So that's where the value could think, well, hang on, I might be leaving 200 grand on the table here by staying at the Swans, and that's where you talk about the offer that could come for him.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I think he'll stay. I just think he's a really interesting one to watch because we know and we've talked a lot about on this pod this year, the Swans have got a lot of business to do with re-signing star players that are out. They've already done that with Goulden, obviously, but, if Florent's on less than six now, does he get offered much of a pay rise? Mm. Sometimes in these situations when guys get squeezed out, they get offered less and then they have to make a really tough call. I think at 25, he's worth a flutter from other clubs because I think his top end is really good.
And what's the price of success to stay at the Swans? They look like they're in the window
for a while. Yeah, they do. And the Saints may or may not be, depending on how they recruit. So that's my whiteboard done for the week.
So it's not a whiteboard item for me, but it's one we're going to watch throughout the year. It's obviously Harley Reid's contract. He's now eligible to re-sign beyond his fixed 3 years. So the big change in the CBA, this is a bit micro Mitch, but the big change this year was top 20 picks, instead of being locked for 2 years, they're now locked for a three-year contract.
Which the managers don't like.
A few of the guys
that have the top-end draft, they
don't like. Yeah. So I just want to run through what Harley Reid is going to be earning for these 3 years and then also sort of his value after that and maybe use Nick Daicos as a bit of a comparison. So this year in 2024, his base wage is 130 grand because he was drafted in the top 10. He gets 4 grand a match. And let's say he finishes top three in the Eagles' best and fairest, which you'd think would be
high chance.
Well,
good chance, yep.
He's going to win the Rising Star, so that's 20 grand. Top three in the BNF is 30 grand. So as part of the CBA this year, 50. There's all these performance clauses that weren't previously in there. So Nick Daicos, Max Holmes, for years gone by, these picks weren't actually included with performance clauses.
Yep.
The clubs would then engage the management for years 3, 4 and beyond.
Yep.
But these guys, Harley Reid, top 20 picks, et cetera, have these performance clauses in there. So, top three in the BNF, 30 grand. Rising Star, 20 grand. All-Australian squad, 20 grand. If you're in the All-Australian team, you get an extra 10 grand. So if he plays every game this year, Harley Reid wins the Rising Star, top three in the BNF, and makes the All-Australian squad, which you wouldn't rule out at this stage, he's going to earn 292 grand for year one.
Which is funny that Harley Reid playing his absolute best footy is going to earn less than you for the year. That's actually
amazing. Waiting to see the player you were going to name, and that is not correct. This is up from Nick Dacos' first year. So we're talking similar ballpark. They're both stars, lit the competition up in their first year. Dacos is on a base of 105. He also got $4,000 a match. He got a $12,000 bonus for his first 11 games, and then he got $10,000 for being the number one pick. Nick Dacos, in his first year, earned about $220,000.
Yep.
So right now, with the performance clauses in there, Harley Reid stands earned about $70,000 more than Nick Dacos.
So if you were West Coast, what would you be doing now? Would you be offering a long-term deal?
Oh, yeah.
Or would you just be offering him a massive amount for year four to smooth out those first 4 years? And then when you get to, say, halfway through the third year, and you've got a really good sample size of what he's worth,
I'll be trying to get him to free agency. Because I think
straight away?
Yeah, because right now he signed until 2026. One more year takes him to Tassie, and that's going to open up all sorts of can of worms in terms of, like, the market's just going to go bunter that year. Yeah. Like, imagine Harley Reid coming out of contract when Tassie comes in.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have an open – like, he could get – Tassie could offer him 2.5.
Yeah, because of all the incentives, yeah.
And players naturally go to their free agency year, so I'd be trying to get him for five more. That's just – what do you reckon?
At what, 1.3?
Yeah, and maybe 1.1 and build in some performance clauses in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks – I can't remember a player having the sort of impact that he's had in the middle of the ground.
Yeah.
I was watching with mates at my house on Saturday night, and I was like, what game are we going to watch? And we watched the Geelong game for 5 minutes, but it was like, it was in the wet. And
yep.
And then someone said, can someone turn on Harley? Yeah. Like, that's literally what it was. It's like, oh yeah, I don't really want to watch the Derby, but I sort of want to see if Harley Reid dominates. And it was just like, we were just.
Oh, the mark, the Fife moment.
Amazing.
But
Hutchie did raise a good point again on Classified this week about North Melbourne have won one of their last 27 games and they won the wrong one.
Yeah.
It was like.
It's a good tweet. My mate Brad Klebanski actually tweeted that over the weekend.
Yeah. They won the wrong one.
What, and I'd love to, we might be able to break the mold and get a player manager on as our first guest.
No.
Few have wanted to come on.
Oh, that's good.
What is the value of Harley Reid? So, like He's, as you just said with your mates you're watching on the weekend, he's the reason to turn West Coast on.
Yep.
He's
the only reason.
He's going to sell corporate suites.
Yep.
He's going to sell
sponsorship deals.
People are going to want to see him in their car. People want to see him in their boots. Like, he is the guy. Like, this is almost NBA levels where it's like you've got a core of five players. This guy's playing on a team of 23 and he's still the most standout. He's only six games in. He's just turned 19. Like, where do you draw the line in terms of his playing contract and maybe what he's actually worth for the club? Like, you're back to almost like the Bailey Smith conversation. And that might have dried up a little bit in terms of where Bailey Smith hype was 2 or 3 years ago. The point I wanted to make around Harley Reid was, so years 1, 2, and 3 are locked in terms of playing.
Sorry.
But it's also got the additional services agreement. So the ASA, you'll hear clubs often talk about. Clubs can have $1.3 million on top of their
TPP,
and they do what they want with it. Now, I spoke to a few people today around what clubs usually
just
do.
Give it all to Harley.
Well, you could. It's $1.3 million there. Typically what clubs do, they'll split it between 10 to 12 players, and they'll all earn between 100 and 150 grand each.
Just give it all to Harley.
You could.
I'd give it at least half of it to Harley.
So year three, he can enter the ASA or the Additional Services Agreement.
Yep. No, it's good stuff. Should we talk about, just before we get to nuts and bolts, not really a whiteboard, but should we talk about North Melbourne on the other side of this conversation? Because they are really difficult to watch at the moment.
Could you imagine Harley in that team in terms of the turn-on factor?
Yeah, because...
like McKercher, Sheasel, Dersma are going to be stars, but...
well, yeah, I think so. I think they are.
Yeah.
But...
I'm pretty confident.
Yep. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and say that they should have gone harder for getting Reid, but they made it hard just winning that game that they didn't need to win. I don't know where their growth is going to come from outside of the teenagers who we all think are going to be good mids. That's the thing that really worries me. And they can't get good players to their team from other clubs. Think about all the names when you and I were younger reporters and You know, we were talking about stories of them trying to get Gaff, trying to get Dusty, trying to get Hannabury, trying to get Heaney. And they couldn't. They got close with a few of them.
Yep. You know, and there's one in Nuts and Bolts we'll get to.
Yeah, and they couldn't land any of them. And then, so I started thinking, like, it's we know how hard it is to get players out of your team. Out of another team to yours. Now, it's even harder when you're going as badly as North Melbourne. And I know people don't really like talking about this, but their facilities aren't great. And Brad Scott was talking about that when he was coach. And that, you know, he was talking about this in 2015, and we're almost a decade after talking about, well, you know.
They've been upgraded a bit since then.
A bit, Mitch, but they're not great. Like, if you compare it to Carlton, you compare it to Collingwood, compare it to Essendon.
Sydney got great facilities.
Yeah. It's not. North Melbourne's in a great spot. It's around the corner from the city. You know, got great cafes. Arden Street's really cool. But it's not. You don't get there and go, wow.
Yeah.
So this is just the recent guys who they've got, right, from other teams. And you just give me a yes or a no. Biggie Newen, you can't really. He's just started.
But it was his pick in the 60s. Like, that was a.
And he was not good on the weekend.
Death pie.
Zach Fisher.
It's not a tick yet.
Dill Stevens.
Not liking what I'm seeing from a player who was taken in the top five.
Liam Shields.
That was a depth thing, and that was almost a soft cap offset.
Griffin Logue.
Yet to determine. Knee. I think he feels a good role for them. Not yet, though. Had the knee.
Darcy Tucker.
No, he shouldn't be getting a game in many teams.
Coleman Jones.
Injury hasn't lit the world on fire. He's played more VFL than AFL, so at the moment it's a cross.
Greenwood.
Again, that was a David Noble play at the time, given their relationship from the Crows. They tell me it's great leadership around the club, but on field, he hasn't set the world on fire, so it's not a tick.
Aiden Corr.
No. He should be the third tall in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's playing way above his weight division and having to play on these big guys.
Jaden Stevenson.
No.
That's 10. You do that, you're drafting Will Phillips ahead of Logan McDonald. You've got issues.
Yeah.
So people are having the argument of, is Clarko the guy? I'm sitting there going, I don't know who the guy is. I'm worried about their list first.
Yeah. When clubs and managers talk about the big attraction to go to clubs, you talk about facilities and stuff. Typically the coach is all I'm hearing now from clubs and players and managers in terms of why you want to go there. So Clarko is a big carrot.
No, he was a big carrot.
Mm.
I don't know if he is anymore. We're getting to little air ads, Oren.
No, it's a good debate.
But I don't know.
His last flag was 9 years ago,
and I don't know why I'm turning on to watch North Melbourne anymore.
And look at they're over 26s right now. This is where you look at Connor O'Sullivan at Geelong, who comes in and debuts in a back line with Stewart.
Yep.
Zach Tui's run around. Collar Jasny, their season. Jack Henry, their season guys. Whereas Biggie Newen comes into a back line right now, and it's all at sea. Like, how are these guys actually learning and progressing? Like, how much easier is it right now to come in and debut in a Sydney or a Geelong or a Collingwood?
I really feel for people like Biggie Newen and Toby Pink.
Yeah.
Because they're coming in and they're just not, they don't look like they're associated with whatever system they're trying to play in.
Mm. And North's over 26s right now. Like, Luke McDonald is a shadow of the player he once was.
Yeah, 10 disposals on the weekend.
Yeah. He was a star 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, he was.
Jai Simpkin has not kicked on from what that contract they'd re-signed him at.
Is it? I think we have to be a little bit careful with Jai because of the concussion that he got.
Yeah.
And we have to give him a little bit of time because either something was wrong with him on the weekend or they're protecting him because of the concussion stuff. Because when the game was up for grabs halfway through that second quarter when Hawthorn were piling on goals, he didn't go in the centre bounce.
Yeah, and he's your co-captain.
He's a gun.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's a gun anyway.
Yeah. When he signed that mega contract, was it 6 or 7 years of length?
He was
among the A-grade midfielders in the comp.
Yeah, he's not anymore. Well, he's not right now.
Not right now. I think he's only 20. He's just turned 26, so he's still got time on his side.
Yeah, I think they're just huge problems at North. Huge problems.
One silver lining, actually, I saw over Twitter on the weekend. Zach Dawson had 10 or so kicked on him by Anthony Rocker in Clarko's second year at Hawthorn.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years later, they won the flag. So just putting that out there, the Biggie Newens and the Toby Pinks get bags kicked on them.
Yeah, well, if North Melbourne win the flag in 2026, I'll retire from journalism. Forever.
Jeez. Can't wait to say that all over social this week.
North Melbourne are going to get 5,000 extra members off the back of that comment.
What if the AFL give them 10 priority picks?
I think you can give them 15 priority picks at the moment. By the way, let's never, ever mention that again.
The Zach Dawson comparison?
No. North Melbourne getting a priority pick this year.
Well, they can't this year, surely, because they gave them 2 years of handouts, so they've already spent this year's.
Thank you.
If they get priority picks this year, I think the other competition, there'll be pitchforks at AFL House.
Okay, let's get to nuts and bolts.
To win Geelong the game after the siren, Zach Tui, set shot. He's done it!
Shoulders were a bit sore after carrying nuts and bolts the last 2 weeks. So Scott had to really put his foot down and say, Mitch, it's your turn.
And I've gone to my own backyard. I've gone to a cat.
Oh, who are we talking about?
Zach Tui.
Wow.
So we all know the phenomenal story. Plucked out of Ireland. Jared Scholey, Carlton recruiting links at the time, brought him out to Australia end of 2009. He debuts in 2011 as a 21-year-old. He basically plays 5 years at the Blues from there. Without missing a game, essentially. Gets the end of 2016 and he's out of contract at the Blues.
No, this is a hurtful story.
He's coming off an eighth place finish in the BNF that year. The year prior, he was third. But Carlton's in a different time. This is a 26-year-old Zach Tui we're talking about. And the Blues are in the rebuild, rephase sort of model where they're wanting to go younger, attack the draft. Almost what North's doing now, bring in the kids and see where we can get to. Mm. And it's worked out. They're playing good footy at the moment. Probably going to be... right up there again this year.
Finish top.
Hey?
They'll finish top.
But not flag favourites?
Yep, correct.
Yep, just to get that right. The Blues initially put forward a 2-year deal for Tui, but really it's base rate with match payments. For a player at 26 and what he's achieved at the game in the game at that time, he feels insulted by this. So his manager, Adam Ramanauskas, gets to work on testing the market. And there'd been some feelers. For a player out of contract, there'd already been some feelers throughout the year. There were four clubs with genuine interest in Zach Tui in the 2016. Geelong, North Melbourne, Gold Coast, and Sydney. He never met with the Swans, but he did meet with the other three. So he had a late night board meeting in the boardroom at Arden Street. He was whisking there after dark, met with Brad Scott and the recruiting team. He met with the Suns in the CBD in an office building in Melbourne. Rocket Ead was the coach at the time. The Suns put a contingent together to meet in the CBD with Zach Tui. He met with Geelong, including list boss Stephen Wells and coach Chris Scott, in a service department in South Bank here in Melbourne.
Service department. Micro Mitch.
The Gold Coast offer was the strongest for Zach Tui. He knocked back more money from the Suns to go to the Cats ultimately. They put four,
smart decision,
forward a 4 or 5 year deal. But he was thinking, if I'm leaving Carlton, I want to play finals. One in three games in his last couple of years had been wins. So this is Carlton's well down the ladder at this stage. North Melbourne, who don't forget, had played finals in 2015 and 16. So right around this mark, Brad Scott's got them humming. Or not humming, but they're in the finals mix. They put together a 4-year offer. Then there was Geelong. The role of playing halfback was quite explicit in the offer. It was a 4-year deal and finals was always on the radar for them. Tui ultimately picked Geelong because of the role, the lifestyle, and the offer was pretty strong, much stronger than what Carlton put forward. The Cats were also looking at Brett Dilidio at the time, but they had to prioritise one. They put their eggs in the Zach Tui basket. He was a bit younger. Obviously, Brett's body by that stage was starting to, he started a few question marks, but
major question marks.
Well, at the end of Richmond, it was just starting.
The calves.
Yeah, just at the end of Richmond. And the Cats prioritised Tui over Dilidio. Dilidio obviously ends up at the Giants, given the Wayne Campbell connection, head of footy at the Giants. The Cats, ironically, don't have a first-round pick to do the deal for Zach Tui because they've traded it the year before, ironically, for one of Tui's best mates and a former teammate, Lockie Henderson, to come from Carlton to Geelong. So the Cats dipped into their future pick for 2017, and future trading at the time was relatively new. It had only been 12 months old then in terms of trading into the future. But the Cats said, no, we want Zach Tui. He's our guy. So they struck a deal with the Blues. Geelong got Tui and Carlton's future second rounder. The Blues got Billy Smets, who was a first round pick for the Cats. They put him on the table. And they also got Geelong's future first rounder. Carlton on-traded that future first rounder to the Giants in a deal for Caleb Marchbank and Jared Pickett. That was then on-traded from GWS to Richmond for Brett Delidio. It then changed hands again. Ultimately, that 15 ended up at the draft with Zach Bailey. Pretty handy pick. Lions took Zach Bailey. Geelong had finished in the prelim, so it was a they'd finished top four, so that's why it was pick 15. The Blues finished third last, and you throw in two compo picks, that second rounder was pick 22. Mm. So really, the Blues gave up Zach Tui to slide seven picks in the draft from 22 into 15, and they on-traded it, obviously. Future picks, you don't know where they're going to land.
Which was Marchbank and Pickett.
Yeah. Marchbank's.
Yeah, good when he plays.
Yep. Geelong took that pick 22 to the draft from the Blues. They took Lockie Fogarty. But what it did allow them was the luxury of taking Tim Kelly at 24. So it gave them two picks in the 20s. If they only had one, who knows which way they would have gone. Would they have gone Kelly? Would they have gone Fogarty? Who knows? But the Blues, for spruiking the fact they got a first-round pick for Zach Tui, really only ended up moving seven picks. And they lose a player who's now had 274 AFL games to his name. A premiership player is the all-time most games ever for an Irishman. He turns 34 in December and still playing handy footy to be in the top team of the AFL. He's being managed on and off, but you would argue he's still in their best 23 at Geelong.
Great bit of business from Geelong.
Yeah. 26-year-old Zach Tui.
Not a great bit of business from the Blues.
Yeah. They're in the window of a different era.
Yep. Marchbank was probably worth the risk in some way. Pickett probably felt like a free hit of Steak Knives.
They also gave up a second rounder as part of that transaction.
Wasn't Pickett like pick three?
Yeah, he was an early pick. Marchbank was a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Yeah, Pickett just didn't work. Mm. Marchbank's best, very good. Just can't kill the park. And Tui's the opposite. Mm. As far as like he doesn't ever not get on the park. He's Mr. Consistency. Mm. Great nuts and bolts. The service department from the Cats in South Bank getting it done.
And the Cats and Blues play this week, hence the reason.
Zach Dewey Cup.
Mm.
All right, let's get to Just Quickly.
Now, just quickly.
Okay, so Just Quickly. So this is week three of block two of the Callaway AI Smoke Driver. So I used it for the first time for a full round on the weekend.
Feedback? Obviously, the driver was elite.
Oh, no, like I hit it unbelievably well. Did you saw the video? Did we end up putting that on socials, Scotty? No, we didn't. Of me. It doesn't matter. Just
is that where you hit the driver straight down the middle for 174 yards?
It was, no. See, why would you say, why would you lie about it? It was 262.
Oh, sorry, get my numbers.
That's at my little indoor place in High Street, Armidale.
You got a little indoor place?
Yeah, Mulligan's, little club building place. Go in and see Matt or Jeffo. Tell him I sent you. no, hit it really well. I was two over off the stick through nine holes, and then made birdie on 10, and then looked at the scorecard and went, okay, like, you know, course record coming up, and then lost my drive on 11, left, and then couldn't quite recover.
But there's promise. We're feeling good. We're feeling good things about the AI Smoke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just that my golf really – they say that your golf ability symbolises your abilities just as a human being, and there's nothing is more correct about me. The difference between my best and my worst is so ridiculously big.
Lucky we only see a small window of that level of consistency on this show. It's good. But your best and your worst, the gap on this show is very small.
Yeah, thank you. Apart from when I start talking about Harley Reid. Okay, for the AI Smoke Driver, first voice message is from Bailey.
Hey, lads, just quickly, I wanted to know what the most unusual contract clause has been in a player's contract. You spoke earlier about Cogs's captaincy clause a few years ago and all the reported Dugowie behavioural clauses a few years ago as well. So just wanted to know the most unusual one that probably hasn't seen the public eye.
You on?
I don't off the top of my head.
I have, so what do you think? I know of a player who had a drug clause in his contract.
Illicit drugs?
Every Monday morning.
Right.
Got tested at the club.
Are they still playing?
No.
Right, that's
interesting. And he was fine with it.
Yeah.
He was like, yep, okay, no worries, I'll do that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Kept him on the straight and narrow.
I might have to do some homework. I don't really have any quirky ones outside of the sort of standards.
Mm.
The behaviourals, you know.
The PA like getting involved and like getting upset about little contract clauses that, you know. aren't fair and reasonable. They get their antennas go mental.
But they were happy with the one you just mentioned.
And then something important will happen that actually affects players and we don't hear from them. Anyway.
Oh, good afternoon to those down at Albert Park.
From Bailey to Ryan.
Just quickly, I've seen no mention on the pod at all this year about Mitch being made number one ticket holder for the mighty Belmont Lions down in the GDFL in Geelong. And there's no correlation that they've actually gone 2-0 for the first time in 20-odd years. How much credit is he actually taking for this turnaround and what has his actual input been?
Extraordinary. That's great. I meant to talk about it and then I forgot. And now
well, it's better because we're now 3-0. So we've given it a bit.
Is this the team that you play for?
No.
Right.
So different league.
Why are you no more ticket
holder? I'm good mates with the reserves coach. And they asked me a year or so back. So I said, just give me 12 months. And then they asked again. And I said, yes.
So what's involved in being a number one ticket holder?
I'm going to attend a game or two this year and maybe chat to a few of the members. I don't really know. It's more of a figurehead position.
Does any money change hands?
No.
Oh, okay.
It means I don't have to pay to go to the games, which is good.
I was hoping that you might get a little earn out of it.
No.
Right.
No, it's good. It's just I like to link myself with success, and that's the way we're tracking at the moment down at Winter Reserve.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. Well done to you. From Ryan to Joe.
G'day, lads. Love the show. Just quickly, I was fortunate enough on Saturday to actually hit my first ever hole-in-one playing golf at Yarra Bend. On the fifth hole there, and it was a great day. It's obviously a massive life event for an amateur golfer, and I sort of shared the moment to socials, and then spoke to my missus very shortly after the fact, who I've recently proposed to, and she said she'd say yes, obviously. She wasn't too happy, so I didn't actually post anything about the engagement to socials, but I posted my hole-in-one straight away. And I guess I'm just sort of wondering, where do I go from here? What's the best way to get out of this, or to dig myself out of this hole? Because she's not too happy.
Straight down to the candle shop.
Yeah, look, Joe, first of all, well done on the hole-in-one. I actually would have liked to have heard more about
on the engagement.
What shot you hit. And did you draw it in? Did you chunk one and you got lucky? Did you blade one and it hit the pin and then dropped? If Joe could give us a bit more feedback about the actual shot, that'd be great. Hole in one, that's an amazing feat.
Must have been using Callaway.
Of course. Yep. You know, AR Smoke Iron, it's going really well. I would suggest that you play the card with your fiance that you're working on something a bit more professional. You'd sent it to a company, that there was something that was coming out and you didn't want to rush it, which is why you held off, and the golf being not as important, you just put straight up on socials with not that much effort. That would be the route that I would sort of have navigated towards.
Don't mind it, yeah. I was going to say, you could just say we got stuck in the drafts or something. I was scheduled to post it.
What would Ari Gold have said?
I'm a season in.
And how are you finding it?
Ari would be on the front foot and maybe going down more your path.
So what's just happened?
They've just taken off to New York and
to do Queens Boulevard.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't met James Cameron yet.
Just quickly, a fun fact about Belmont Lions, the club that I'm the number one ticket holder of.
Are we going back here?
Yes, we are. I just looked at the fixture this week.
What's going on?
We play Thompson, whose star recruit this offseason was Billy Smets.
Okay.
Just a bit of a tie-in to our nuts and bolts from before. Zach Tui's still playing AFL.
How many games Billy Smets played?
9 for Carlton.
Shit. That's bad, 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 bad. Hey, I wanted to play this game with you before you. So my research assistant, Dan, who I've talked about on this pod before.
How many hours do you spend with him each week?
Probably more than he would want. Dan's married now, so he spends more time with
him. Did he post about it on social?
More time with Emma. I think his socials were good around the wedding. He is a bit... We have a gag with him that he's a bit Rain Man when it comes to player games and how many they've played. And so I was walking Diva at Faulkner Park during the week, and who should I run into but the great Ted Richards.
Oh.
Had a chat with him. He's two boys just played their first game of soccer. The eldest scored a goal. They won 5-2. That was great. And I walked away and I thought to myself, I wonder how many games Ted Richards played. So I texted research assistant Dan, and waited for 10 minutes and he came back. And I just wanted to play the game with you. How many games, Mitchell, did Ted Richards play?
Ooh.
And just keep in mind, we could almost do, we should do nuts and bolts on him one day.
Yeah.
In his first 4 years were at Essendon and he ended up becoming a two-time premiership player at Sydney. I think he played in both.
2012. I don't think he played in 05, did he?
Yeah.
He might have just missed out.
Maybe not.
Still been at Essendon then?
Yeah, you might be right.
I'm going to say 205.
So he played 261.
261, that's a great career.
Yeah, he was at 05, and you're right, he was 05 at Essendon.
Apologies to Ted. I've undersold him quite a lot there.
Dan's guess? 262.
Ooh.
That is unbelievable, he's one off.
Mm.
So if you ever run into a player or you ever see a player from yesteryear on TV or something and you want to know how many games he played, get a message through to tradies. They'll get the message through to me. I'll then get the message through to research assistant Dan and we can see how good he is. Don't ignore me. Don't go to your
Sorry, phone. I just got a text from my boss.
And?
No, it's not relevant for the show.
Are you sure?
100%.
Okay. Anything on for you this week?
Big games. Anzac Day Eve, Anzac Day.
Yep.
Yeah, how about you?
Are you going to Adelaide for Friday night footy?
I'm not.
Okay.
You'll be there?
Yep.
Oh.
I think this is my first trip to South Australia in 10 years.
So you miss gather round, but you're here for this one.
Yeah, I'm sneaking in.
Business, pleasure?
I'm going to watch Liv golf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll work from the Adelaide over on Friday night.
And then yeah, great.
Got tickets to the weekend.
Nice.
Never been to Liv Golf, so very excited.
I hope there's a hole-in-one like there was last year.
I'm sure it'll be from a Callaway player.
Yep. You can watch it all on 7 and 7 Plus.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Also, just before we go, I had a message from Nine Publicity during the week that required up in Sydney for some promo shoots.
Oh, as part of the Olympics.
Mm.
So the podcast mentioned fast track that?
So do you think it'll be like, because obviously hosting Overnight Gem, like that'll be me and Carl stepping over next to each other,
yeah,
do you think?
Yeah.
Or me, Carl and Eddie?
Yep.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think that's the three, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Beard, going for that?
I think I'm going to have to seriously cut my hair too, which I'm very upset about. I don't have much else going for me.
I think it's a good place to leave the show.
This has been Tradies, brought to you by Callaway. Thanks for listening. Keep your DMs coming at Tradies Podcast. Mitch is on socials as well. Catch you next week. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.